This morning's Bible reading comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I want to thank you for the opportunity of being here together, gathering together with the saints of God to worship you, to praise your name, to pray together, to read your word, to have fellowship together, and to let you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, out of your glorious riches, strengthen us, encourage us, embolden us for the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you would have your way in and through us today. Not our plans, not our ways, not our will, but your plans, your ways, and your will, as we together step out in faith again and again to see you glorified in the church and in the community. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's an amazing part of the Word of God, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. In seven short verses, we see such an incredible challenge. In verse 14, it starts with, for this reason, for this reason. And if you look back through the book of Ephesians, there's a couple of times it says, for this reason, or some of you might have, for this cause. And it's the cause of Christ. It's the cause of walking in Jesus Christ. It's the cause of the gospel that's coming through. But it's also for the reason of knowing Paul knowing and saying to the Ephesians people, for them to know who they are in Christ, his plans, his purposes. And because of this, he says, because of this, I kneel. Who kneels? Paul. By the time Paul gets to the people in Ephesus, he's had a pretty amazing and significant ministry that's taken place. Suffice to say, he is one of the bigwigs in the early church. And he says, I kneel. Who before? Before the Father. And I think it's important. Sometimes in our different cultures of church, we don't assume this position a lot. But if you go back through the ages, many men and women of God grab this position. As a position of what? Prayer, submission, power. Many men of God have said, no more powerful is a man or woman than when they are on their knees. When we are at this position, A, humbling ourselves before Almighty God, submitting to his plan and his purpose, acknowledging he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and bringing our prayers of supplication, of thanksgiving, of intercession before him. I don't know about you, but this is not a position I'm in very often. I often blame it on wicket-keeping knees because it hurts. And when I stand up, there may be a loud cracking noise. But it's an amazing position to stand before God and before other people. I think it's an important one that we can grab hold of. Not too bad. Paul says he kneels before the Father, who is the Father of all families. The Father. And this ties right back to the very beginning of the Bible. Right back to the very beginning, where God's name is glorified. And this is what he prays. It's a pretty amazing prayer. And we're going to be praying it today for us as a church. Because as you may have been aware, we're starting a new season. We've finished Jesus in the Gospels. We've finished that amazing journey. And we're starting a short season of faith. And then we're going into, what happens in December? Christmas. So we're going into a series of Christmas all through December. But in November, we're going through faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Take up the shield of faith. And part of the reason behind this is because as I prayed into us as a church, I felt God say, lift your eyes. Lift your eyes. Don't look at the world around us. Because the more and more we look at the world around us, it gets quite chaotic, doesn't it? You look everything around and there's such incredible debate both in the church and outside of the church of what is right and what is wrong. And you can easily drop our eyes and almost become depressed on the state of the church. Depressed on the state of our culture, the state of our country. But we're going to step out in faith. We're going to encourage one another to step out in faith this month. To lift up our eyes, to place them fully in God. And this is the prayer he prays. I pray that out of his glorious riches, whose glorious riches? God's. God's glorious riches. How much has God got? Yeah. Indescribable was one of the songs we sang today. Indescribable. If you can fully describe who God is, guess what? You don't know God. He is bigger and wider and deeper than anything we could ever dream or imagine. He is indescribable. If you think you've got God worked out, if you think you know his plans, if you think he understands and you understand him, guess what? You've got to go back to square one because there's so much more that he has for you. So much more that he has for you and for me. And it says, out of his glorious riches. So already we're coming out of a place that is indescribable. His glorious riches. Not out of what Donnie has. Because trust me, if you are praying out of what Donnie has, you're not going to last very long at all. But it's out of what God has for you. And I think we need to lift up our eyes and see this indescribable God. I'm on a bit of a journey. I shared this with the young people on Friday night. I'm on a journey with the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I'm passionate about the Bible. But at the moment, God seems to have dropped a bomb underneath me in the area of the Word of God. And it came about just through a simple challenge. Some of you may remember just recently I got to speak with Phil Smith at the Reach Conference. And we did our prayer 101. And this year we've done the whole area of the prayer, school of prayer through us as a church. We actually ran it 7 times throughout the church, which is pretty cool. And one of the things in that school of prayer, and one of the things that we did at the Prayer 101 at the Reach Conference was we talked a bit about the Benedictine monks. Now the Benedictine monks back in 400 AD would pray through the Psalms once a week, all of them. All 150 psalms every week. Isn't that amazing? Talk about getting into God's Word. And Phil had to go over to Western Australia, Perth, for a Uniting Church synod. And while he was over there, he was very clever. He grabbed hold of a week's study leave and he went to the only Benedictine monastery in Australia, which is just north of Perth. And he went there and he spent a week with them. No TV. No internet, no mobile phones, and when the sun was set, it was a quiet monastery. In other words, no words were spoken during the dark. No words spoken at all. And they, the Benedictines seems to have lost a little bit of passion, I think, because they only pray through the prayers, the Psalms, every 2 weeks. So they've doubled it out. Every 2 weeks they pray through the Psalms. And at the end of my time with Phil after that Reach conference, I was praying through this and I went, I wonder how long it would take me to pray through the Psalms. I wonder how long it would take. So I set myself a challenge. Do you do that? Or is it just us competitive people who set ourselves these challenges? I set myself a challenge. I'm going to pray through the Psalms. If those guys over there in Western Australia can do it, then this Queenslander can do it. In 2 weeks, I'm going to pray through the Psalms. Ready, set, go. And off I went. It took me 20 minutes to read through Psalm 119. Long time. Increased my Bible reading quite a lot. In 12 days, I got through the Psalms. And it was incredible. A richness, a challenge, something amazing came through. One of the things that came through was how big God was. The psalmist got the picture. How majestic is your name in all the earth. And if you read through the Psalms again and again and again, and if it keeps hitting you again and again and again, all of a sudden it's like a wave as you go down to the beach. It hits you and hits you and hits you, and it keeps hitting you until finally you go, oh, I'm getting hit by a wave. Or finally you're going, oh, wow, my God is really big. He is immense. He is incredible. He is indescribable. At the end of those 12 days, I thought, wow, that was unreal. That was so cool. I'm going for these walks and I'm reading my Bible as I'm walking along. Haven't bumped into anyone yet or a pole or anything else. I make sure I go on good walks where I don't do that. But it's just incredible. And so I said, okay, the Proverbs. Let's go through the Proverbs. That should be fun. I'll set myself 4 days to get through the Proverbs. No, sorry, a week. It took me 4 days through the Proverbs. Now I'm on a challenge of trying to get through the four Gospels in 2 weeks. If I finish Mark off today, that'll be two Matthew and Mark done in 5 days. As you can see, the desire for God's word seems to have just gone whack. And I just get a chance, I'm reading the Bible. Get a chance, I'm reading the Bible. Now, having said that, I had a talk with Mark during the week. And I've been praying it through. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get good ideas or Donny ideas. And I don't know if they're a good idea or a bad idea. Most of the time, if I get a big idea for us as a church, I present it at the leadership team and they just go, Donny, you're kidding me. That's one of your ideas. Well, I've come up with an idea and I bounced it off Mark. Now, ladies, don't get upset with me because this is a bloke's thing. All right? I apologize. But if you ladies want to do it, then you can grab a lady and lead you in that one. But blokes, I don't know about you, but this season for me has been something amazing. So this coming Tuesday night at 7:30, if there's any guys, and they're only going to meet once a month or so it's not going to be a huge commitment, but the idea of it is to come together, get around God's word, and then set ourselves a challenge to get into God's word for the next month. So if there's any guys that would like to come 7:30, I'm going to be here anyway because I'm on bread, so it fits well for my calendar. But if you'd like to come on Tuesday night, 7:30 here, for 1 hour, we're going to get around God's word. Actually, specifically, we're going to do Psalm 119 together. And then the challenge we brought, we'll work out a challenge together. So guys, if you want to come along this Tuesday night, 7:30 here at the greenhouse, I'll send an email out and we'll meet together. If it's just me, then I'll read through Psalm 119 by myself and give myself an uppercut and keep going. All right, so out of his glorious riches, he wants to strengthen you with power through his spirit of the inner man, the inner being. Where do we have transformation taking place? In here. How often do we try to make transformation take place? Out here. Remember, I was trying to turn Dave into Donnie. I dressed him up in all my gear. Trying to make him Donnie. How many times in the church do we try to do that to each other? We think discipleship. Get your hair cut. Stop drinking. Stop this. Stop that. 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 And then you'll look like me and I look like Jesus. Really? Not quite. The instrument of the Holy Spirit is where transformation takes place. The instrument of the Holy Spirit working in and through us brings about transformation. Too many times these days, and for many, many years, we've looked at the outside. In fact, it goes right back to God when he was calling David. And they looked like all these great candidates to be the new king. And what did God say to Samuel? You look at the outer. I look at the heart. I was talking to a dad down at the surf club yesterday afternoon, and he has a daughter similar age to Jamie. And we were talking about certain things, and all of a sudden he came up with he said, Donnie, I don't know about you, but I'm struggling a little bit with my daughter. And I said, well, what's up, mate? And he said, well, when she turned 18, she wanted a little tattoo on her ankle. And it was of a dolphin. And we thought, yeah, that'd be nice. Thank you very much. So she got this little tattoo of a dolphin on her ankle. And he said, then we celebrated a 30 years anniversary, my wife and I. And so to celebrate that, she got a bunch of roses tattooed on her shoulder to celebrate our anniversary. And then she got a tattoo here, and she got another tattoo there, and there's another one across there. And he goes, I can't keep up with her, mate. She's getting tattoos everywhere. And he said, and I'm worried about her, that everyone will look at her and think she's someone else because she has tattoos. And he said, I'm of your generation, Donnie. And, you know, when we grew up, people that had tattoos were either what? Sailors? Hey, John? What was the other one? Bikies? Yeah. Or cultural stuff through the islands and all that sort of stuff. But it's today, it seems to be everywhere you look, there are tattoos. And so I shared with him and talked with him about it. And God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. And we need to be wary of looking at each other and going, well, you're not a real Christian because you don't look like it. We need to let the Holy Spirit work in people's lives. And if in anything, we can pray for them to be transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that where it starts? Isn't that where true transformation takes place? If we have issues or struggles with people, we need to be praying that God would do the work in them and that we would be open to being a part or an instrument in his hands to bring that assistance of the Holy Spirit into their lives. Not our plans, but whose plans? God's plans. So well, Avril put before us before. The work in us, the inner work of the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Two areas of this one. That we step out in faith as we take Jesus into our hearts. We say, yes, by faith I accept your forgiveness into my life. By faith I live for Jesus Christ. But it's also more than that. It is because Jesus reigns in our hearts, I will step out in faith. Because Jesus is now on the throne, I will live by faith. The other day as I was reading through the Proverbs, I was heading home and I came across this really cool proverb where it says, he who has a good wife has favor from the Lord. How good is that? And I went home and I told Cynthia, I said, Cynthia, you are a good wife. And because of that, I have favor in the Lord. And I then went, because I have favor in the Lord, I have a good wife. And so it was just amazing. This is that same sort of scripture, is that when we have faith in Jesus Christ, he's in our heart. But because we have him in our heart, we have faith. Does that make sense? We walk in faith. It's evident because it's that inner work of the Holy Spirit that takes place and that keeps going. And then he goes on any further and says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in what? In love. In love. Love covers a multitude of sins. I am compelled by love. Love is huge. Love is huge. If we go into John 21, we will see an amazing work of God's love with Peter. Now, Peter, blessed Peter, he made a mistake. He denied Jesus three times. Well, he didn't just deny him, did he? If you read into it, he really did go to town. There's no way I know that guy. I don't know. No, I swear on all things, I don't know that man. Yeah, it was a pretty big mistake. But the interesting thing was that Jesus already told him that was going to happen. And then there's this significant time in John 21 where Jesus and Peter are having this moment. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And when we read that in English, we go, yeah, yeah. But when you go and have a look at it, the word that Jesus used there is agapo, or agape. It's the greatest love. It's that unconditional love. It's the love that is here. It's the God love for us. And what does Peter respond? Peter responds, yes, of course, Jesus, I love you. But the word there, love, is filio love, which is Philadelphia, the brotherly love. It's that love that we share amongst us. And so Jesus again says, Peter, do you love me? Again, agapo. And Peter comes back with filio. And you can see what's taking place here. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? But this time it's filio. And Peter is saddened because he responds, yes, Jesus, I feel you. An amazing event taking place. From that, I get that God meets us at where we are. You see, you don't have to become a martyr for the gospel of Jesus Christ as soon as you fall in love with Jesus. It can be a journey for you to get to that point. It can be a journey for you to be able to get to a point where, yes, I will lay down my life. Because at the start of it, we might be filio God instead of agapo God. But God wants us to get to that point where we understand that love, how big that love is, how deep that love is, how all-consuming that love for God is. Because of two things. One, isn't it the first of the great commandments? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, love God with everything. I don't know about you, but I'm still working that out. How do I love God with everything that I am? How do I love God with my heart? How do I love him with my strength? How do I love him with my soul? How do I love him with my mind? How do I live that life for Jesus? And then the second is, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this passage here, he says that God wants us to know this love. And he goes into quite poetic sense about it. That we might have power together with all the Lord's holy people, all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't that incredible? That is just amazing that we can get to that point. And Paul would pray this for the people in Ephesus, and we can pray it for us today, that we would know how much God loves us. Not only are we called to love God, but we would know how much he loves us. Do we know that? How much can we understand that God loves us? When we take the communion, do we understand that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That love, that depth of love. Before I go on and finish with those two last verses, and those last two verses have just been rattling around in my heart all week, I just want to pray. I just want to pray for two things. One, that if you are just crying out and saying, Lord, continue your work of transformation in my life. Fill me anew with your Holy Spirit. Yes, I want more of that, Lord God. I want to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. Then I'm going to pray that for you and for me. The other one is the love of God. I'm just going to pray that God would just fill us to overflowing with his love. And I reckon that's the same right across our whole community. Is that people are turning and looking for something else and they need God's love. So I'm going to pray these two things now. Let's pray. Father God, I know so often in my own life that I go about the external things. I tick a few boxes and I dot the I's and cross the T's and I go, yep, everything's good. But Father, I need the work of your Holy Spirit in and through me. We need the work of your Holy Spirit in and through us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bring about an incredible transformation. An incredible transformation. That we would become more like Christ. More like you, Lord Jesus. More like you. And that you would do the work, Father. And as you speak to each and every one of us, Lord God, that there are different things that all of us are walking through in this journey. All of us, Lord God, whether we be walking through the valley, be the valley of death or the valley of struggle, the valley of persecution, the valley of depression. Lord, you want to get us through to the other side where there is a table of blessing and anointing set before us. So, Father, we reach out to you and ask, Lord God, that you would fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that this love that is mentioned in this passage that Paul shares with the people in Ephesus, I pray, Lord God, that we, your people, would grasp how wide, how long, and how high and deep is your love for us. And that we would know that this love surpasses all knowledge. And that you may be filling each of us, Lord God, with the full measure of who you are. We want the full measure, Lord God. We want to be filled with you, Lord Jesus. We want to be enthusiastic. We want to be filled with passion, Lord God. We want to be filled with what you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then he finishes off with these two beautiful verses. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, to who? To God. It is God that we look to, who is able. He is able. Out of his incredible riches, he is able. In fact, he is more than able, isn't he? More than able. And the word immeasurably, guess what? It's not the right word, because immeasurably is too small a word for us to understand. You look into the commentaries and they go, the word is just bigger than immeasurable. It's just out there. It's, you can't measure it. So it's immeasurable. But it's a bigger word than this, that, which is amazing. He wants to do so. Do you hear that? God wants to work in and through your life and in through my life. He wants to do something in and through us. Something more than we could ever imagine. I don't know about you, but I can imagine some good stuff. But he wants to do even more than that. Do we as a church think he wants to impact our community? Yes, of course he does. We as a church have taken a step, a journey, bringing Richie on and then bringing James on. And because of that, we've stepped out in faith in our finances. Does God want to meet that? Of course he does. But we need to pray into it. We need to go, okay, God, this is what you want to do. This is where you've led us as a people. So we're going to step out in faith and see that come about. And as that comes about, we're going to give you all the glory and the praise. Who's able to do immeasurably more. Are you hearing it? Immeasurably more. God wants to work in and through us in ways that just blows our socks off. I want to be a part of that, and I want to excite and be excited and hear stories where God's just blowing our socks off. He's stepping into the gap like he did in the book of Psalms, like he did through the Proverbs. And guess what? Like he did in Matthew and so far up to chapter 13 in Mark. And I reckon as I get to Luke and John, I'm going to hear the same stories. Blowing people's socks off, raising people from the dead. The deaf hearing, the blind seeing. So many times I've already read about the 5,000 and the 4,000 that were fed, walking on the water. Blow our socks off immeasurably more than we could ever dream or imagine. Why? So that his name may be glorified in the church and everywhere. I want to give God the glory for what he is doing in and through us as a church. Let's pray. Father God, it is good to step out in faith It is good, Lord God, to just say again, fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with you, Lord God, that we might become enthusiastic, dynamic, and passionate around you, Lord Jesus. We might lift our eyes, Lord God. We might grow out in faith, Lord Jesus, for what you're wanting to do. Faith in our finances here, Lord God. We bring them before you and we ask, Lord God, that you would do something amazing and incredible that will blow our socks off. Father, in and through this community, that you will bring people to faith. People that we've prayed for and we've reached out to, you would bring them to faith. The work of your Holy Spirit would already right now be doing an inner work in their lives, bringing transformation and bringing them to a point where they'll go, yep, I want to follow Jesus. And we will just be the ones that are blessed to be a part of that. Father God, we pray that you would continue to go before us. We would be encouraged and excited about following you each and every day. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Thank you, everyone.